Good morning. My name is Brad, and I get the privilege to read the scripture for this morning. We'll be in Colossians chapter 3, and it says this: Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. The scriptures are as irrelevant today as they were then.
Nice job, Bradley.
I can read.
Morning. Enjoying the cooler weather this morning? I never got a verdict last week. I was like, it's September, how do we feel about that? I never really did know where we felt. Cooler weather, where are we at on that? All right, it's good. Well, don't get used to it, because it's going to get back up to 85, I think, this week. But I'm enjoying it. Now it's like socially acceptable for me to wear the three-quarter zips, because it's getting cooler. So, hey, let's pray as we get started. Father, I pray this morning that this will be your word all over it, that this will just be you speaking directly into our hearts today. Father, we're so thankful for this morning, coming together and worshiping you, worshiping the name of Jesus. There is no greater name than the name of Jesus, and we just lift him high up this morning. Father, we love you a lot. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so if you're a guest this morning, we're in our second week of a series called The Unseen Kingdom. And let me just quickly recap last week. We talked about how really we're more unseen beings than we are seen beings. Really, we just have the body, but we have soul and mind and spirit and an inner being. And so we kind of processed through the fact that that's where everything has to start, right? And we said this line, an unseen kingdom mentality, it's thinking less about the outcome and behavior and more about the inward transformative aspect producing the outcome or behavior. We really want to start in the heart. Jesus talked a lot about getting into the heart, right? It's not just about what you know. It's not just about what you do. It's about what you treasure, right? It's about what motivates you. It's about what's deep inside of you. So we wanted to address that last week. And we talked about how fruit being produced in the Bible is not outward. It's not attendance was great or this number or whatever. It's actually more about character being produced, first and foremost. Character within us, staying aside the spirit and the fruit of the spirit is produced in our lives, first and foremost. That's what the Bible talks about when it talks about fruit. But at the same time, we also want what's inside of us to begin being reflected in our members, in our body. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is letting the inward begin to transform and be represented into the outward as well. So if you have your Bibles, Colossians 3, we'll start in verses 1 through 4. We'll read it again like Brad did. It says, since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts, again, unseen, on things above, unseen, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, unseen, on things above, not on earthly things, seen. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. All right, so Paul says here, you've got new life in Christ, all right? So he says, set your hearts and your minds on those things above. And then he says, when Christ, who is our life, now appears, seen, we appear with him in glory. Here's what I think Paul is trying to get us to understand here. Eventually, our goal is to make our seen lives, our body, match our unseen reality. See, we've got new life in Christ. And no one and nothing can do anything about that. We have a new life forevermore with Jesus. That's our reality, right? And so things like sinner no longer define who we are. Yes, we do continue to have sin, and we always will have sin on this earth, but sinner is not a defining term for us anymore. Our identity is things like children of God, brother to Jesus. Jesus even calls us friend. Those are the identifiers of who we are now. That's our reality. That's our unseen reality for eternity, is we are children of God. So Paul, what he's saying here is, know who you are, and then let your life begin reflecting who it is that you are. But the problem is, we've had a lot of time practicing sin in our lives. So much so that things become impulsive and natural to us. They're habits that we live into. Sometimes we sin without even really thinking about it. It just comes naturally. And that's why Paul will continue in Colossians 3 and say, here's the earthly nature. Here's the things that come impulsive. Here are the natural things. And he processes through that. It doesn't just all of a sudden change just because now we are having new life in Christ. We still have sin in our bodies. And that's why he continues to go on and say, here's the things, here's the evidence of the old life, and put that behind you. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden we stop sinning because we have new life and we have a whole new identity. We continue to sin. I told you guys, I think last year about the time, which it's embarrassing, but it's all right, it's a good example. But we had just sold our house and bought a new one, and I was on my way home one day, and I drove to the old house, and it wasn't until I saw this big bus in the driveway that I was like, oh yeah, that's right, I don't live here anymore. But it wasn't because I went to that old house, it wasn't that all of a sudden, now that's my house again. It's just I had this habit, this impulse, this nature about me to go to the old house. But we have a new house or a new life to live into. And so Paul is saying here, let us begin that process of living into the new life that we have. Essentially, he's saying three things here. That our goal is to begin recognizing our earthly nature. So again, and I should have had a slide for this. Sorry about that. I didn't. All right, there's three things here. Number one is identify those impulses in our nature, right? The things that happen in our members, in our body, identify those things. And then the second thing is call it out for what it is. Say it shouldn't be this way. And then three, we eventually want to put those things away. We want those things to end because that's not who we are anymore. That lens of insecurity or pride that just dominates our thinking, that's not who we are anymore. The worry, the anxiety, the pride, the lusts, the greed, all those things, those just aren't who we are anymore. So Paul is saying, because that's not who you are anymore, first recognize what's happening in your body, in your members, call it out, and then put it away. Get rid of it. You know, I'd say most people live their lives in Romans 7 and never do quite get to Romans 8. Paul talks in Romans 7 about calling out the body and its members and what it's doing and the fleshly desires. And he says, it ought not be this way. In fact, let's just go ahead and read it. He says in verse 15, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. All right, is everybody confused at this moment? Okay, a few of you are not, but most of you. Here's, in essence, I think what he's saying is there's this battle going on, right? He understands that he has new life in Christ. And yet he identifies that his members, his body, is still wanting to give in to some of those old life lusts and pride and that sort of thing. And so he's at conflict here, right? And that's something that's always going to happen to some extent in our Christian life. But we can't forget that it doesn't end in Romans 7. He actually goes into Romans 8. He identifies it, he calls it out, but then he says this in Romans 8, starting in verse 10. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And then verse 37 says that we are more than conquerors through Christ. See, no, we will never be perfect in this life, but we can begin to live into our new life and actually live in victory over some of the sinful habits of our old life. And we've got to remember that. How often is it that people just say, this is just the reality. This is just the way it is. You know, I'm just always going to live into this sin. It's like, no, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can actually live in victory over those old sin habits, over the old lusts, over the pride and all the different things that we've dealt with before. So many of us just say, you know, my dad was an alcoholic, I'm just going to be an alcoholic. My mom was a worrier, I'm just going to worry. I'm always going to deal with this lust, this lustful habit. I'm always going to have this pride. I'm always going to have this insecurity. I'm always going to have this anxiety. And the reality is a Romans 8 reality that we live into. There is victory in the name of Jesus. We got to remember that as we go through our lives. We have victory through the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, no, we will never be perfect. But yet, we don't want to just live in Romans 7. We also want to move into Romans 8 and have victory over those things. There are two ways that Paul tells us to do that in Colossians 3. Number one, as we've kind of touched on already, put to death what belongs to our old life. So we identify the impulsive sin still in our body, like in Romans 7. We say, this is not who I am anymore. There's this tension here. I know that this doesn't really match. The things that I'm doing don't really match my reality now. And so there's this tension here. And then once we see that tension, we say, I want to put that thing to death. I mean, we've got to be undertakers of the old life. We've got to put it to death. We've got to be morticians of the old life. Put the old life to death. How often do you see people just say, this is just who I am? You know, I'm just a sinner. I see so many Christians just say, I'm a sinner. This is who I am. And again, yes, we sin, but that doesn't identify us anymore. That doesn't define us anymore. Sinner is not who we are. We are children of God. We are dearly loved. We have eternal life in His name. And of course, if you think that this is just who you are, this sin, then of course you're going to continue to live into that sin, because if that's who you are, then that's just got to be the way that it is. But that's not the way it is for the Christian. So we put to death the things of the old life. We've been taking care of a little baby boy for a while. And man, if you ever want to know what's in your heart, take care of somebody else's baby for a little while. And I mean, I say that funny, but really, it's revealed a lot, especially yesterday, revealed a lot about my own heart. There's stuff in there that I just didn't know was still going on. And every time that baby will cry, I noticed in my members frustration. And I had to think, why is that? It's that Romans 7, right? It ought not be this way. Why am I getting so frustrated so quickly just because a baby's crying and there's some need that he has? And so I recognized that there was this stubbornness in me, this selfishness in me. It's this Romans 7 mentality of it ought not be this way. And so what do I got to do? I got to start to put to death that stubbornness and that selfishness. Put it to death. You know, I think so many times we're nice about sin. And Paul is saying here in Colossians 3, verse 5, put it to death. I mean, get it away. Get it. You got to be serious about sin, man. You can't just say, you know, I'm going to keep it close by a little bit, but I'm going to try not to give into it. It's put it to death, absolute death. Sometimes I think the world can be very nice about sin, but we as Christians can't be. You see throughout the scriptures, time and time again, it's put it to death, get rid of it, flee it, run the other direction. In fact, we'll read from Proverbs 5, starting in verse 3. This is referring specifically to lust. It says this, "For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. "Now then, sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house." Now you see that theme right there? Don't even go near it. Just run the other direction. And by the way, there are some sins that are so difficult for us to deal with that we must just run the other direction. See, the Bible deals with sin so severely. We've got to go the other direction or put it to death. We can't just think that we can have things under control a little bit. You know, I deal with this sin, but I kind of got it under control. I think it's okay. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've seen lives ruined with that mentality of, I can keep it at bay. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal. And then before you know it, their own lives are ruined. Families' lives are ruined. We've got to put it to death. That's why Paul says this strong language, put it to death. Get rid of it. Flee it. Don't go near it. It reminds me of this bad example that I'm going to give. I heard this story about this dude who visited Alaska, and he was so enamored with the bears, y'all know where I'm going with this, that he decided he was going to go live among the bears. Really bad idea. He's like, man, they were really nice to me, and I'm going to go live among them. I'm going to get them trained. He slept with them, and surprisingly, 2 years go by, and he is doing just fine. And he starts inviting his friends into it. He starts inviting his girlfriend to come and stuff like that and live and play with the bears. Until one day, about 2 years in, the bear mauls this guy and his girlfriend to death. Why? Because that's what bears do. Eventually, they are going to maul you to death. That's the point here. So many times we think maybe we've had some kind of interaction with sin and we think, okay, well, I got away unscathed here. But eventually it is going to maul you. It's going to ruin you. And little by little over time we see a numbness towards it. And that's when the enemy has you. But we can't do that. Why? Because that's not who we are anymore. We've got to say, put that thing to death. If there's something that I struggle with, get rid of it. Man, alcoholics should not be going down the wine aisle at the store. Or if you struggle with gambling, you should not be walking by a casino. Or if you struggle with lust, you should not be pulling up pictures of women on the internet. Just shouldn't be doing it. Why? Because we got to deal with sin severely, drastically. Put it to death. It's not who we are anymore. We are dearly loved by God. We have new life in Christ, and we ought have our body, our members, begin acting like we have new life in Christ. Be undertakers about the old life. Give death to deathly ways. Now, of course, we don't just want to focus on what we aren't. We also want to focus on what we are. We have a new life to live into. Paul says in Colossians 3:10, the second thing, don't just put to death the old self, also put on the new self that is being renewed. See, if I just leave here and say, hey, don't sin, it's probably not going to go well very long, is it? It's kind of like if I said, hey guys, don't think about a pink elephant. Where does your mind go right away? It's that pink elephant, right? But if I instead said, think about a blue lion, now because you're focused on the blue lion, you're not thinking about the pink elephant. Again, another bad example. I need to start running these illustrations by people. But the point is, you're not just thinking about what you don't want to do. You're focused in on what you do want to do. We have to focus in on who we are and the life that God wants us to live into, not just trying to avoid the old life. I got a dog. His name is Dasher. One more bad illustration, all right? I got a dog. His name is Dasher. He's all right. The girls love him. The baby loves him. Morgan loves him. I don't. It's just, and maybe some of you can share that, but like some of them are just way too hyperactive. And it's good that they love you. It's good that they, you know, are excited when you're home. But when I go take the trash down to the road and I'm gone 36 seconds, I don't need him to act like I've been gone for a decade. But But that's what he does. So he's just okay. But we've been working on something. Every time I take him outside, we have these sliding glass doors. And so, you know, as soon as I start sliding the door, what he'll do is, before the door's even open, he'll hit his body on that door or on the wall beside it and burst out the door and chase after the birds or the squirrels. And it's not good for him to do that. He never catches the squirrels or the birds, which is good, but it's not good for his self-control. It's certainly not good for anything for him to be doing that every time. It's not good for his body. So one day I decided, all right, we got to work on this. We got to figure this out. So what I'd do is I'd open the door and I'd hold my foot out and say, wait, 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 wait. And have him sit down. You know, wait, sit, get calm, and then you can go outside. Well, as soon as I move my leg out of the way, what does he do? Run after the birds. Run after the squirrels. And I'm wrecking my brain trying to figure out how to get him to not do that. But now we've gotten to the point where one of the dog trainers said, get him to focus right on your eyes, and then he won't go bursting out the door. So I thought, well, I don't think that's going to work, but I'll give it a try. You do this for a living, right? Sure enough, have him sit down. He'll look around at the squirrels and the birds and stuff like that. But as soon as he locks eyes with me and a few seconds go by, I know at that point he's not going to chase after the birds and squirrels. His demeanor has changed completely. Why? Because he's focused in on me. And that's the point here. Once I stopped saying, just don't do that, but instead said, eyes up here, that's when he stopped. That's the point. It's fix your eyes on me, and you will not do that. It's not just don't do it, but fix your eyes on me, and you won't. You don't have to just try and not. You get to focus in on what you get to do, which is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 3 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, fix your eyes on Jesus. It's not just try to stop sinning and run the other direction, although that's part of it. But it's also fix your eyes on Jesus, and then we will not grow weary or lose heart in doing good. Hebrews 11 is filled with all kinds of examples of the faith. But then the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus is the example. Jesus is the one that we look at. And one of the examples of Jesus that we don't often think about is that Jesus lives his life in victory now. You know, Jesus left his grave clothes in the tomb, and so should we. That's the point here. That's where we want to live our lives. It's not who we are anymore to live into the deathly old ways of life. It's just not who we are anymore. We have new life. And so what Hebrews is communicating here is that, man, we ought to just fix our eyes on Jesus and live into this new life that we have. And I don't know about you, but yes, we die to self, man, and we have to do that. So we enter into new life. But we also live that new life in victory. And so many of us, we've just been bogged down by the old life and saying, it's always going to be Romans 7. It's always going to be just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I just think today's a great day to say, no, my King lives in victory, and so I can live in that victory too, over sin, over sin. Put to death the old life and live into the new. Church, I think it's time for us to have our souls awakened to the reality that we live under right now, which is victory in the name of Jesus. Let's pray and worship. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that it really is true and it really is possible to live in victory now, not just eternity one day, but victory now over those things that bogged us down so much in the old life. So would you be so gracious in this moment to give us just a little bit of belief in that reality? That our reality is eternal life, and I pray that you would help us to live into that life right now. Maybe there are lies we've lived into for years and years and years. Maybe there's pride. Maybe there's lust. Maybe there's, you name it. We've always thought that it's just the way that it is. Just always going to be this way. Father, I pray that you will make us a Romans 8 church. It says we live in victory now. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we live in victory now. Father, break the chains that weigh us down in this moment. Help us to live in freedom in your name. We love you a lot. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Church, will you stand and worship with us?